things I'm always sure of when I come to this place. One, we're going to have a great time of fellowship together. Secondly, I know I'm going to get a lot of hugs. You're the huggingest people I've ever been around. I like it. I like it. I'm not complaining. And the other thing is the music always is spot on. It's just very God-honoring, very on purpose in a way to edify the believer, but to most certainly glorify the Lord. And as my dad would say, it's gooder than good. And it's the unusual presentation of worship today, even though I believe it's the correct presentation of worship today. So I'm always excited to come here, but I'm in great expectation of what will be set forth, because I know they make right choices here. And God is exalted in a very biblical fashion, and I appreciate it very, very much. My wife is back there somewhere hiding. She's back. Wave, honey. There's my darling wife. There she is. Wait, John, they can't see you. Keep waving. Keep waving. There you go. We are kind of on a little honeymoon jaunt, you know, so if I just get flat out exhausted and have to sit down, I may have to rest myself in the middle of the message. My lips are just outstretched. But we celebrated our 40th anniversary this summer, and we were supposed to be here in June. And we had an opportunity to do some ministry for a friend of mine undergoing some cancer difficulties. So we canceled out our Sanibel 2 weeks free stay. And we ended up just rearranging things, trusting the Lord to reschedule us the way it needed to be done. And it happened to be last week. Now we're staying with my son over in South Tampa and celebrating our granddaughter's first birthday on Tuesday. So it all really worked out in a wonderful way. So grandma's real happy. Grandpa's happy when grandma's happy. And so we're really thrilled to be down here at this time. And God makes no mistakes. I hope you're doing well. I know the church is just healthy. I know it's growing. I hear good testimony report of therein and thereof. And I'm glad you're hopping on board to be a part of what God is doing in this place. It was hard to think that pastor's even 30 years old, let alone he's been here for over 30. Now, let me straighten that out. It's hard to imagine his wife has to be that old, because she's been with him on the whole journey, and she still looks as young as all get out. Pastor looks like pastor looks. You all know what I'm saying. That hair piece of his, you know, and all that stuff. They asked me to do that today, so. But, you know, I've been doing evangelism now for 26 years. It's hard to imagine that. And I was Freddie the Freeloader at the old property for a lot of years. My in-laws were down here in Florida and all that, and we'd come to Florida about every year, and we'd try to make it an on-purpose thing to be at Hillsdale. Not just to get the freebie stay, but to have the fellowship that just sweet as all get out. So we've built some really wonderful relationships over the years, and Sean and I are very grateful for that blessing and those riches that come for just fellowship in Jesus and the way that we've been blessed to fellowship in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to give an announcement. Pastor and I haven't had a chance to talk. He's been a busier and all get out sort of guy. And actually, last week, I didn't want to talk to him. Y'all with me? I didn't want to. So let me give you an announcement here that I think will bless your heart. You know, I mentioned in Sunday school, I preached on the sin of compromise. And how I'm astounded in my lifetime to see so many once faithful institutions close their door. Now, you're very familiar with that, with Clearwater closing their doors. But Northland, you know, Temple, even Pillsbury, I've been around for all of those. And you know what? It just breaks your heart. But they're all closing for the same reason. Now, they may tell you finances, but folks, it comes when you compromise. You take a stand contrary to what glorifies and honors God. And as I told the folks during Sunday school, history will keep you straight if you'll just learn from history. But folks seem to think they're smarter than history. You know what, folks? It just breaks my heart, as I've done this for over 30 years, to see it seems like the bad guys win. Or the guys who are unfaithful seem to come out on top. But that's not the way it's going to end up. For sure, your sin will find you out. Stay faithful. But I've got to give you a victory testimony here. For 12 years, I was an evangelist, program worker up at Northland Camp and Conference Center, where they had Northland Baptist Bible College or Northland University. Well, recently, and maybe pastors mentioned this to you, as Northland has closed their door, there's been a group called Project 14 that have stepped up to the plate to take control of Northland. And as of last week, I know for sure it's going forward to reestablish and restore Northland Camp and Conference Center. Can I have an amen, please? And not in a boogie, get down, get up again way, not in a compromising way, but the way it's supposed to be done. Mr. Jeff Call, dear friend of mine, is at the helm of that opportunity. He was sidelined for a little bit, but God's got him back in the saddle. And they're doing recruiting. They're trying to accumulate some good staff members. Any of you folks want to be freebies for the summer? I'm sure they'll take you with pastor's permission. But they're going to need a lot of help to get that big machine rolling again. But I'm excited. You know, very seldom do we see a group go sideways or south spiritually that come out again on a victorious presentation for Jesus Christ. And as long as Jeff Call is at the helm directing this, it's going to go the right direction. I know who he is, what he believes, and what direction he's choosing to go. So would you put that on your prayer list, please? Would you put that as a priority prayer list that they'll again find the right people to do the right things to really please God in a wonderful way? I'm thrilled to death. Now I'll have some part in it. My summer's already scheduled, thankfully. But I am going to preach at least 1 week up there this summer. And very excited for the opportunity. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Colossians. And I guess this is one of the reasons that I've had this passage on my mind so abundantly, because when I was the program participant at Northland for all those years, Marty Heron, the camp director at that time, came up to me and said, "Mike, we need a camp course." I said, "Okay. We need a course for Pioneer Village." Now, folks, I'm not smart like your pastor. Pastor can not only play music, he can read the music he's playing. I just play it. You know I'm an entertainer more than I'm a musician. You know that fact. But you know what? I didn't know I could write songs. I didn't know I had that in me. So I started writing all the mission choruses. I wrote all the fun stuff going on for fun time. And that's really how I got a lot of the material that you folks have on the CD, the Fun Time CD I have. It's because of the time I spent at Northland. Well, the camp chorus was based on the camp verse, which was Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Would you go to that with me, please? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now, studying out this passage and preparing that song, I also utilized the next verse. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, I know we've got a lot of note takers here in this church. I've been here many times. Write these three words by verse 7. You need to be grounded, you need to be growing, and you need to be grateful. That'll preach for him. I got that from Warren Wiersbe. I want to give credit to whom credit's due. Grounded, growing, and grateful. Will you say it with me, please? Grounded, growing, and grateful. Folks, that's the way you fulfill in a faithful manner your walk in Christ Jesus. But folks, look back at verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," look at the last part, "so walk ye in him." Now, a lot of folks aren't doing that today. A lot of folks who say they love God, they say they read their Bible and they study to show themselves approved unto God, they're not walking in Christ Jesus the way I understand the Bible says we're supposed to walk in Christ Jesus. And here's what I've seen now. Doing this for over 30 years, folks, it never ceases to amaze me how foolish man can be. And how again, very diligent the devil is. The devil's on the march today, folks, like I've never seen the devil on the march. And what he's doing is doing what he's best at, dividing, deceiving, lying through his ever-loving teeth as such to, again, feed the minds and hearts of believers to, again, cause stuff that shouldn't be to be a part of their everyday normal activity. Have you noticed how normal sin seems to be even for believers today? But, folks, it's still not supposed to be that way. In the church, in your home. No, again, it's supposed to be in a way that reflects a godly, be holy testimony. Now, I've preached on holiness several times in this place, but I always like to give the simplicity of that command of God. It's to be set apart for God alone. Again, nothing matters more than what matters unto God when you're right with Him. But the part we have trouble with, because we like it way too much, are the things of the world. We're set apart for God, but we're supposed to be set apart from the things of this world, anti-God philosophy, anti-God activities, things that will rip you off and cheat you from being biblically set apart for God. Much confusion. We're like a bunch of guppies, folks. We'll swallow about anything. And we're buying up what the devil's selling us. And folks, it's going to kill you in your spiritual life instead of promote you unto more Christ-likeness and fruitfulness, to have fruit that remains to really reflect a testimony of walking in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to show you in this passage, we're going to have a word of prayer. I want to show you the warnings given to us here, and then show you again that representation of walking rightly in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is what I do. I'm an evangelist. I have people, even my wife's cousin, we were down in Sanibel, and he came over for a meal. And he kind of asked me, what do you do? What are you? I said, people have been trying to figure that one out for a lot of years. But you know what, folks? I remind people of what they basically need to be and do for Jesus. That's been my ministry for over 30 years. And I want to give you some simplistic, pointed presentation of God's Word so you can examine your walk in Christ Jesus to make sure you're walking in Him. So let's bow our heads and hearts, if you'll pray with me, please. And folks, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, ask very specifically for God to teach you. Ask very specifically for God to give you understanding via the Holy Spirit that indwells you as a believer. But if you're not a believer, ask God to save your soul. Ask God to help you understand your need of Jesus, and then give you the courage, the conviction, the want to receive Jesus Christ in this morning service. So if you're not saved, get saved. If you're right with God, make sure you're doing it in a way that lines up with thus saith the Lord, so we can again be grounded, growing, and grateful. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time of challenge from your word. Lord, I just love preaching and proclaiming your truths. I'm glad to be back in the saddle proclaiming your truths. And God, I just pray that you'll continue to illumine our minds, to again stir us up, Lord, like we need to be stirred up. And God, help us to just be honest and open before you to receive your truths this hour. Lord, you're good all the time. Help us to recognize and respond to your goodness and receive it joyfully into our hearts this hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with me to this passage, to chapter 2, and go up a few verses from where we started. And I really want to start reading in verse 2, where it says, and again, it's talking about believers in Christ Jesus, dealing with the church of Colossae, but it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to acknowledge the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God says, I don't want you to miss any of this, but here's what's on your daily confrontational agenda. The devil is after you 24/7, so keep your dukes up as such. Be prepared for the deception that will come your way. Look at the warning of deception down in verse 4. It says in verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. Beguile means to deceive. Deceive you with enticing words. Folks, look up here. I used to be a car dealer. Can you tell? Yeah, it's still my personality. And besides that, I was an entertainer for a lot of years. I know how to do the razzmatazz, tell you what you want to hear kind of talking. I know how to baloney breath you to death. I really know how to do that. But you know what? I have a high calling of God to tell you the truth. I'm not here just to stir you up. I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm here to present the truth so the Holy Spirit of God will cut to your heart, convict you, challenge you to make decisions in a pleasing, God-honoring fashion. And folks, that's the privileged ministry I have. But there are a lot of slick talkers out there. And they're not all politicians. There are a lot of slick talkers in fundamental churches just like this. Some folks that are real good talking, but they don't talk the talk and walk the walk. Folks, sometimes we let down our guard in the place where we need to keep our guard up just as much. And that's in a local church. Because what the devil's going to do, he's going to infiltrate this ministry at any opportunity he can to again deceive, to defy, and destroy what God's doing in this place. And as I mentioned, God's doing a great work, but don't let your guard down. Keep your dukes up as such and keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because again, 844, the Gospel of John, the devil's a liar. He's the father of it. He's going to whisper in your ear until you're gone from this body and in the presence with Jesus. And you cannot let yourself be deceived by enticing words. Then the same thing is mentioned, or same type of thing down in verse 8, where it says here, "Beware lest any man spoil or deceive you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments," so that means elements, "of the world, and not after Christ." Now, folks, it's so easy during this time period of our life to get caught up in "thus saith the politician." And again, being deceived and again distracted by important responsibilities. I want you to be a good steward of your citizenship. But I don't want you to put your politics ahead of your personal relationship with Jesus. A lot of people do that. And we are easily caught up in what's the current thing going on. But we must not let that cancel out our focus of looking unto Jesus as the author as well as the finisher of our faith. Don't be as foolish as your flesh will choose to be foolish. If you don't again yield to the power and wherewithal of God, you'll be taken down and taken out of the way of faithful right choosing by again the lies, the philosophies, the rudiments, the elements of the world that is around me. You need to know what you believe so you won't be tripped up or deterred from truth and mess up your walk in Christ Jesus. Now let me park on that for a moment. You know what, folks? You can never walk in Christ Jesus until you're in Christ Jesus through salvation. You know, why are so many people who cares about Christianity? And they're in fundamental churches. Why do so many people who dress up real pretty, they got their hair cut good, old culottes forever, and I mean, they're just amazingly presenting themselves in their fundamental position, but they're not a soul winner. They don't even think about winning people to Christ. They don't disciple anybody. They just play a religious game, go through the motions, go to church, go home, let's go eat, go back, take your nap, come back, eat some more, go to church, feed on the, go back home and eat more. That's our favorite activity. But folks, they're just empty. They have nothing to show of a true biblical relationship in Christ Jesus. Folks, I've seen the surveys. You've heard them from preacher after preacher for a zillion years like I have. How many people read their Bible? Not very many. So if many people, and the majority, don't seem to read their Bibles, how many of you think study the Word of God? Well, even fewer. Folks, no wonder we're fruitless. No wonder we're not as productive for Jesus as we're supposed to be. But here's my question. As I've done this for a zillion years, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you are in Christ Jesus? That's the reason you're not walking rightly in Christ. Because you're still not a part of the family of God. I know you love God. I did before I was saved. I didn't get saved until I was 22. I went to youth group. You know, I did all the camp thing in the summer. You know, I went to this activity. You know what? I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior. But you wouldn't have been able to convince me that I didn't love God, because I did love God. You would have a hard time convincing me that I wasn't a Christian, because I really, really, really believed that I was born again. I've teenagers talk to me here. You know, good to see you, by the way. I just met this young man here earlier, and I wanted him to know how impacting I will be for his life forever and a day by oozing upon him. So I want to take time just to ooze. Okay, I'm going away. I don't want to embarrass you anymore. I want you to come back, but I'm real questioning your friendship choices here. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, I love the parents. Watch the son, okay? Yeah, just watch him carefully. That's all I'm saying. Just won't take it any further. But you know what, folks? It's amazing to me how many people have all the right answers, but not a right representation. There's no fruit. There's no drive, desire. Your want to is not Jesus Christ. Your life revolves around the world, and my Bible still says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Your goals, nothing is for Jesus. It's for this temporal, empty world that hates your God. And if you do anything close to live for Jesus Christ, it's going to hate you and do all the devil and his crowd can do to rip you off of all the glory and goodness found in Christ Jesus. There's some reason it ain't working right. And I just want to challenge you in a very loving, straightforward way. Are you sure you're saved? I'm not trying to talk you out of something that lasts forever. But you don't line up with a right walk in Christ Jesus, and there's a reason for that. Y'all with me? So remember, before you can walk in Christ Jesus, you must be in Christ Jesus through salvation. Not just a professing Christian, but a person, again, that walks the walk and talks the talk because they have the wherewithal through the Holy Spirit that indwells them as a believer. Now that you're in Christ Jesus, there's a specific direction and way of walking. A specific direction and way of walking. You're here, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned this in Sunday school. You're here to press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you have a target picked out, God has one already for you. God wants you to be diligent. Striving is the message. Toward the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Boom! That's the direction. That's the way God, thank you. God, that's the way God wants you to go. And you cannot hit the mark unless you on purpose walk biblically to please the Lord, walk worthy, as the Bible says, walk circumspectly. And that just means be cautious in what you are, what you do every single day. Now, physically, everybody has a different walk. You know, as an evangelist, I am in a lot of airports. Do you have any concept how many weird people there are in the world? Y'all with me? Am I the only guy that just likes to look at people? You want to get really freaked out? Go to Walmart about 10 o'clock at night. Are you with me here? You know, Walmartians are real. They are. And don't let your children out that time of night and don't let them go to Walmart. But you know, whether it's in an airport or what, some guys just, you know, I walk heavy. You know, when I walk through a house, it sounds like thunder. You know, I'm just a heavy walker. I'm glad I'm not a twinkle toes. Okay, I don't want to do that. But everybody has a specific walk, and we're all rather different in our physical presentation, walk, talk, and whatever. But in Christ Jesus, it's all the same. But it's different. It's the same when you're right with God, and it's different if you're not right with God. It's same if you're biblically directed and, again, convinced, convicted, converted, committed, and all that stuff. But it's going to be different than the world that's around you. Do you have more worldly friends than you do godly fellowship? Well, that's a telling tale, isn't it? Do you have more activities apart from the will and working of God than really being faithful to what God's ordered up for you as a believer in Christ Jesus? Yeah, you're going to be the same blessed testimony if you're doing it right as anybody else, but you know what? It's going to show up real quick. If you're walking a path of unrighteousness instead of righteousness to, again, rightly reflect, respond, and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's this right walk as such? Well, I want to go back to chapter 2 and go down with me to verse 7. I want to go through those three words I gave you. How good of memory do you have? Let's say it. I should ask the guy in the red shirt, but I told him I wouldn't pick on him anymore. What are the three words I gave you? Give it to me. Ready? You need to be grounded, you need to be growing, and you need to be grateful. Now, we know, as the Scripture says here in this passage, rooted and built up in Him. Now, we know roots are for stability and nutrition. Stability, when the storms of life are pounding your brain and your heart, when the waves of temptation are crashing into your daily walk, boom, you're secure in your relationship with Jesus. Now, I shared this with several folks. I was here a couple years ago, and I'd had my niece was murdered. You know, my little baby brother had passed away. My brother-in-law died of cancer. I mean, all within a short realm of time. Since I was here last time, my dear old dad went home to be with Jesus. And my dad died the great way to die. He was at a restaurant getting ready to eat, and he went, and went to glory. That's the way I want to go. Yes, I do. But he was about to eat broccoli. We always told him broccoli would kill him. Now, I'm not being bad against my dad. But, you know, my dad could not stand, and God knew this, to be in a nursing home. You can't lose your salvation, but I'm afraid he lost his testimony. You know, or be in a hospital. I know some folks have to go through that. But my dad just was getting ready to sit down with some folks for a meal, and God took him to glory. We had one of the most phenomenal God-honoring funerals you'd ever want to be a part of. I was leading the music. I'm led, since Jesus came into my heart, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And you know what? The crowd was, since Jesus came into my heart. I stopped them. I said, folks, this is celebration. This is glory hallelujah time. There's about 400 people at this funeral. I said, folks, This is stir them up time. This is a great time to exalt Jesus Christ. They about blew the ever-loving back wall out when they sang the next couple of verses. A lady came up to me afterwards and said, Brother Maynard, I've never been a part of a funeral like that in my life. And I kind of went, well, that's sad. And she said that was more like a revival than really a funeral service. And you know what? Shouldn't it be? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. My dad no longer going through the junk and garbage of this world. He's now in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Glory, hallelujah. Does it get any better than that? No, it doesn't, people. But you know what? A lot of times when we're faced with sickness or some kind of devastation of this, that, and the other, you see Christians fall apart. They're carnal instead of responding, trusting, and obeying God. I don't want you to go there and do that. I want you to be grounded in the Word of God so you have stability. Constantly being fed by the truths of the blessed Word of God. Kind of like it says in Psalm 1 and verse 3, the blessed man, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be the blasphemous guy. I don't want to be the backslidden, you know, Christian, which seems too normal today. No, I want to be this guy. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And listen to this, folks. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You may like losing. I don't like that. I don't want to be ineffective. I don't want to be unusable for the will of God. But folks, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you can't get it done. You don't have the wherewithal. But even in Christ Jesus, if you don't know what you know to do what you need to do, you're not going to have the stability. And again, the firm stand of righteous choosing to continue a right walk in Christ Jesus. Does this make sense? Pretty simple, isn't it? Let's go down to the next thing mentioned here. You need to be growing, built up in Him, and established in the faith. You should never quit growing spiritually. Now, that's only true. Now, Brother George, you know, George has got to be, I mean, I've known George forever. He's got to be at least 113 at this point. I mean, he's just been around Methuselah. They went to school together, people. Yeah, that's with Brother George. George and I ministered together at Clearwater. We've been around good friends forever and a day. But you know what? Only certain people no longer need to read the Word of God. Methuselah over here is the one that doesn't have to do it, right? You know what George has learned that I'm learning the older I get? Listen to me. The older I get, the more I figure and find out I really don't have a clue. I'm telling you the truth. We say, Brother Maynard, we've known that for a long time. Yeah, I know that. But I just was awakened to the fact I need to learn more. I really don't know this much of what I thought I knew. Because every day as I obey God and search the Scriptures, God unveils more truth. God gives me... Is that my pacemaker? If I die here, folks, I'm in heaven. Don't let it bother you here. You know what? I can learn more of Jesus to be more like Him, to do more for Him. Why do you choose not to do that? Can I give you a helpful hint? Because it's my problem. It's this word that starts with L, and it's not love. It's lazy. Lazy is all get out. You know, I have very few regrets in my life. Very, very few. I've been blessed abundantly. Here's a biggie. Wasting my time on stuff that really doesn't matter. At this stage, yeah. If I could give encouragement to teenagers, you young people, quit wasting time on stuff that really doesn't matter. Have fun, you know, be dumb and be a brain-dead teenager. That's just normal. But, you know what? Don't replace the opportunity of knowing Jesus better and giving your all and best for Him every day. I'm telling you what, it will pay lasting dividends beyond your ever-loving imagination. But folks, you got to on purpose choose to be growing. And again, know what you should know. And as I mentioned briefly, live by first-hand conviction. You know, how many people do what they do because that's where their church stands? Now, that may be the right place to stand, but you stand where you stand because of your personal understanding between you and Jesus. Because you have not secondhand conviction, firsthand understanding of thus saith the Lord. That's why some of you kids will go sideways and never fulfill your ministry for Jesus. Because your whole existence will be based on your church or what mom and dad have made you do. Well, no wonder you end up a carnal carp when you get out of high school. No wonder you're like hundreds, yea, thousands of teenagers who used to be faithful for God, who are worthless for Jesus today. Because they never settled firsthand personal conviction in a personal relationship with Jesus. How many years have we seen that with teenagers? What was the difference between the kid that was real good and fired up here who stayed good and fired up here? They kept growing. They had firsthand understanding of who Jesus is. They loved Jesus themselves, not via the church or mommy or daddy. Jesus is worth your time. It's a worthy choice of against success and prospering in your walk in Christ Jesus, but it's not going to happen because you say amen. It's because you know it's the right walk. You know it's the right direction to again fulfill faithfulness. And folks, aren't we here for fruitfulness? To see souls saved. To see lives change forever. To bring glory and honor to our God. As ye have been taught. Look down at this passage. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Now, folks, I know this church. Pastor Bradshaw, Brother Travis, I know what you've been fed with here. And you should be the most mature, fruitful, impacting, effective people in Florida. Because you've been so blessed. But how are you in your stewardship? To again put that into practice, to be that effective, impacting, again, blessed testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to keep going. Let's go to the last one. And folks, this is missing in a lot of people's lives, whether they're fundamental or non-fundamental. We need to make sure on purpose that we are grounded, that we are growing, but we need to be grateful. We need to have a right approach of attitude and spirit in the midst of our ministry endeavors. And look what God says here in this verse. It says abounding. Can I ask you a question? Is that a little bit or a lot of bit? Talk to me. That's a lot of bit. That again is a big bucket load of again grateful, right attitude, right approach representation. Most of us have trouble in this area. And folks, we need again to make sure we have no doubt again in how to respond in the way that God has ordered up for us to respond. In how many things should we give thanks? Really? 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 Kids, look over at mom and dad. Kids, look at your mom and dad and say, really? You mean, mommy, you're supposed to be excited when dad's a grump? Really? You mean, mommy, when I do something real stupid, you're really thankful I did something? Yeah. Really? Yeah. I don't know about you. I have trouble in this area, okay? I want to smack people. You with me here? I just want to go walk down through the mall and just start flapping people up the back of the head. I really do. I see the stupidity abounding in local church. I almost start flinging bodies. But there's a problem with that. That's not walking rightly in Christ Jesus. It starts with a C, but it's not Christ-likeness. It's called carnality. It's called venting my ever-loving flesh. Now, I don't know why this comes to my head, but if I said everything that came to my head, I'd be out of the ministry. My mind is so berserk here. But I just picture Hillary Clinton. Are y'all sad for me? Y'all sad for me? I mean, how scary is that picture, people? I'm not trying to be overly political here, but Hillary Clinton. Saw her on Fox News. She's giving testimony about her going to church and how she needs to follow Romans chapter 12. And I want to say that would help, okay? But you know, wouldn't it for all of us? But you know, I know where she was going. Vengeance is God. He'll repay. Talking about the media. And she's being so mistreated. You know what? She parked on some right truth there, but from a wrong approach. It was for self-edification. Self-gratification, self-exaltation. And that's the agenda, folks, of an unsaved person, not a saved person. No, you should in everything give thanks. I know where you're working is a difficult difficult mission field and ministry opportunity, but you still need to be grateful God's placed you there. Some of you kids, I know mom and dad aren't perfect, like I was a perfect parent, and I know you're struggling with some of their leadership, again, presentation, but you still need to be grateful. And you still need to be in a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, folks, God says giving thanks always for all things. But I want to show you a good reminder here. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm just going to give you some grateful representation here in this book alone. And, folks, there are a zillion verses, it seems like, on having a right, grateful approach to ministry and testimony for Jesus. But look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then go to chapter 2 and verse 7 again. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. It said, let the peace of God rule or pitch a tent in your heart, and that ye also, which you're also called in one body, and be ye, what is it, folks? I
don't understand, Brother Manor, what I'm going through.
But I do understand if you're a believer, God says you need to be grateful. You know, how many people are turned off from your so-called faithful witnessing because your attitude stinks? You're growling about everything. How many people enjoy being with you when you come to church here? Because all you do, you're negative. You know, people always accuse me of writing the Whambulance song for Patch the Pirate. I did not write that song. I wrote enough other warp songs for him, but I didn't do that one. But you know what, folks? Your spirit shows up in a hurry. And you may be spouting out the right words, but because you have the wrong representation. Yeah, you're grounded. Oh, you're growing. But it's not showing. It's not showing in your spirit of gratefulness. What's the walk involved? Grounded, growing, and grateful. Let me show you a couple more here. Chapter 3 again. I'll do a couple verses here. I'll just go read 3 in a row. Let me go back to verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's also a representation of a spirit-filled person walking rightly in Christ Jesus. But look at verse 17. Talk about all-encompassing. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, is there anything else? No. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, look at it, folks, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doing what? Giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. So, folks, it's not optional. There's one more. Let me show you this before I forget to. Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Now, we're good at that during the Thanksgiving holiday, aren't we? Kill the turkey, give praise and thanksgiving. You know, feed me food, and then we'll maybe give a testimony of how good God is. Folks, that should be the norm every day of who and what you are in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because just like me, you deserve hell for all eternity. You deserve nothing of the goodness of God upon your life. But God is so good. And so good to you. I understand your financial whatevers, maybe. You know, relationship difficulties. Well, join the club, you know. I understand life is hard and difficult, but God never fails. He's always, again, there for you to work in you, to, again, fill you with His power, demonstrate His presence and working through you if you'll make a right choice to be grounded, growing, and grateful. And when you trusted Jesus, you walk in this way of faithful choosing, folks. But the most important thing to remember is this. You can't walk in Christ Jesus unless you're in Christ Jesus through salvation. And how many people in fundamental churches still need to get saved? I don't know. But I still think there are a lot more that will admit and again deal with their relationship with Jesus. There's a reason you're not walking right. There's a reason you're not producing what's supposed to be produced. Folks, if you are concerned about honoring God, doing what He saved and called you to do, well, make sure you're saved. Then be grounded, growing, and grateful. Let's leave off or finish where we start off, go back to chapter 2, and let me just read these verses. And again, just ask you to examine your walk. Is it matching up with what God has ordered up through the blessed, wonderful, working Word of God? Look with me at these verses and we'll close in prayer. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And one more time over in verse 17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for the simplicity and wonderment of the Word of God. Lord, it's so right in our face and before sometimes we never see it. And then, God, we come up in a way that's so contrary to what a Christian's supposed to be and do. Lord, help folks care enough to get it fixed if it's broken. Lord, if it's not even established through salvation in Christ, oh God, show them their need of Jesus. God, help them understand today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Oh God, don't let them miss being with You forever. God, give them the courage. The courage, Lord, to walk this aisle, to settle their eternal destiny, and truly this day be in Christ Jesus, so from this day forward, they can walk faithfully, grounded, growing, and grateful. Now, Lord, I don't know what needs are before this group today, but You do. And God, You have shown that person, those people, what hinders this right walk in You. And Lord, whatever that sinful choice may be, whatever that foolish want to of the flesh has again manifested itself to again show forth, God, free them from that bondage of sinful choosing. Give them the victory available in Christ Jesus. And oh God, don't let them wait another day to be established rightly in You. So God, we have this opportunity of invitation, great opportunity of worship. And Lord, don't let folks miss. Don't let their pride keep them back. And Lord, help us to tenderly fall before You and yield our hearts and lives in a way that's most pleasing unto You. Thank You, Lord, again for this opportunity of invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're just going to have the instruments play hymn of invitation. The staff's down here. The altar's open. What a great time to meet with God in a blessed way. But as God works in your heart, even as I'm speaking, God's convicted you about your need of Christ, about again responding to a right call of God to your heart to walk in Christ Jesus. Let me invite you to come. Let me encourage you to bow before a holy God who loves you so perfectly. And again, yield to His transforming work this hour. Won't you come? The invitation's on. It's pointed to your heart. Let me encourage you again to yield to the blessed, loving hand of God today. Won't you come?